Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
That's the sound of a champion. The Cabo Cup, once again, staying with Team Trout. A come-from-behind victory,
Lance. I didn't
hear
your voice in there.
Oh, yeah. My voice was in there, pal. Don't you worry about it. Cabo Cup. Champions. Well, we retained the cup. Coming from behind in the last group to catch up. An heroic effort as Team Trauber retains the cup. I know everybody was worried about, well, for those of you that hadn't heard yet, okay, I just wanted to give that update to you about the Cabo Cup this weekend, the main sports story around the globe. Yeah, sure, the Olympics started, okay. Yeah, sure, Lovie Smith, whatevs. This is about the Cabo Cup, okay? Today, if you want to call in and give your thoughts about Team Trauber retaining the cup,
click
713-780-3776.
You just hit people with, this is not about Lovie Smith, and half the listeners are saying, what about Lovie Smith?
Oh, stop. Everybody's heard already.
No.
Okay. Well, did they hear about the Cabo Cup, though? They hadn't, probably. Maybe not.
Hopefully not.
Well, hopefully. All I know is.
The Lovie stuff came out late last night.
Yeah, it did. It's only 10 hours old.
Yeah, so a lot of people haven't heard about it. Lovie Smith now, apparently, they're such a transparent operation. I mean, they really are. The Houston Texans now appear to be in negotiations with or discussions with Lovie Smith, who apparently has been a candidate all along. Wasn't listed on their own website as a candidate. Never mentioned as an interview. Listen, they figured out. I talked to a guy who's real close with a lot of NFL agents who told me early in the month it's going to be Josh McCown, 100%. Then a couple of days after that, he goes, talking to some of the same agents, high power agents think that this was should have been announced already by now, and they think the optics look bad on this, and they may end up going in a different direction. Exactly.
You think the optics look bad? Okay. What are the odds now? What are the odds? Uh-huh. And see, I think it's a perfect hire. Okay. What are the odds? Lovie Smith is the head coach, and Josh McCown is on the staff.
Oh, I would say 100%.
I would say too.
I would say 100%.
Yes.
Lovie's going to be the guy. He's an African-American coach. Check that box. And Lovie has been a good candidate in the past. I don't know right now that he's – I would be more inclined to look at a Todd Bowles. If you're looking for an African-American coach with the background of being a head coach, a guy who's a very good defensive mind, like I've had my cape on for Todd Bowles for a while in this process. He never got an interview with the Texans. I think he's a guy they should have looked at very carefully.
Yeah.
But regardless, Lovie's on the staff, so inexpensive, check. You don't have to hire a bunch of new guys on the staff, more than likely.
Well, do you think
that's realistic?
Do you think they might do it a little bit smarter with maybe a 3-year guarantee as opposed to, you know, 4 and $22 million? You think they might do it a little smarter?
I think it'll be a 3-year deal.
Probably worth about 18 or so, maybe.
I mean, ooh, under.
Well, the NFL head coach now is making some money.
I know, but I'm going to go under that. I think Lovie is. I don't think they'll.
Well,
give
if I'm Lovie, I'm like, no. You want me to be the placeholder? You know, okay, and oh, by the way, you like the optics? You like all of this stuff? Guess what?
You could if I'm his agent,
I'm like, okay.
If he and his agent want to play hardball and leverage him, if Lovey still has an agent, which
he probably does, absolutely. Which, he's a coordinator.
He may, but yeah. He probably does. I don't know if he would have. Well, maybe. He probably does. So anyway, Lovie Smith's in that. So he's going to be less expensive, I think. He is going to be on the staff, so you don't have to rehire a bunch of new staff members, I don't think, which is going to save them some money as well. He is a former head coach. Good man. There's a lot of positives to Lovie Smith. Is he going to be a hot name? No. Is he going to be a name of a coach who's going to be around for a while? I don't think so, because basically I don't think the Texans are going to be winning anytime soon, so I think it'll be easier to get rid of Lovey. But Josh McCown cannot be a head coach until he actually coaches ever. That was just stupid. It was always stupid. It was hard to believe, and yet a very Texans thing to happen. And so now I think, John, that you will see Josh McCown get that quarterback coach job, Pep Hamilton OC, and then you pave the way for Josh to be your future head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So really, in essence, Nick Caserio will have hired 3 head coaches in 2 years.
Right. And you know what? If they are hell-bent on Josh McCown, this is the way to go about it. If they've got a head coach who's amenable to having his replacement on the staff, if they've got a head coach that says that will play ball, and the optics are wonderful at this time, right now, in this situation where the NFL is, and Lovie Smith is an experienced guy, he's not going to come in here, be a hothead like Brian Flores. I just don't think Nick Caserio wants that Brian Flores heat. He just doesn't. First of all, the lawsuit, why he did it before he found out whether or not. Because listen, the Texans can say, listen, we wanted Brian Flores to be like, we can't hire somebody that's suing us. Because the Texans are named in the lawsuit as well. Oh, the whole NFL is in the lawsuit. So that was just an awful, awful move. I don't know who is advising Brian Flores. But after that, then you file your lawsuit. Why did you have to file it right away? Yeah. Why don't you wait until you find out whether or not you get a job?
It almost felt like it was something that had that was done in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that lawsuits can't be filed in the heat of the moment. There's a process.
Yeah.
And so, like, how do you – it almost feels like, wait, I just got to – this text message that came in, Brian Daboll, what? Lawsuit. It's almost like you just yelled lawsuit.
No, it was before he went to his interview. So it had been a little while. But he still had job openings, and he still had an interview, and he still had a chance to get this job. But how difficult would it be for the Texans? I mean, we've talked about it. If they would have hired Brian Flores, it would look like, wow, Texans don't. You know what? They really don't care. They're going for it. And they really love Brian. Brian Flores has been the guy the whole time. You just couldn't do it. Now, Lovie Smith, though, he does check boxes. You're right. Maybe Todd Bowles, though. Maybe they don't. I don't know. Do they have a relationship with Todd Bowles? I don't know. That's a
not
question.
That I know of.
They love to have relationships with people. Texans are all about relationships. Do you have a relationship with Jack Easterby in any way, shape, or form?
But this is what people complain about in the hiring process. And black or white. The idea that you have to know everybody. Now, that's how my dad got the job with Mike Tomlin. They coached together in Cincinnati. And you want to have guys that you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
A lot of times it ends up being same race. Primarily black staffs, primarily white staffs. Guys you had coached with in college that are mixed from a racial standpoint. But it's usually guys you're comfortable with that you think have your back. But my dad got the job with Cleveland Browns with Butch just because he got recommended by so many people. Coming out of the college game.
Well, I love how your dad got hired in Cincinnati, but he didn't know because he didn't know. Rick didn't know him, right?
No, Rick Mentor didn't know him.
Yeah, he didn't know
him. But Butch Davis didn't know him, and he got hired to the NFL.
Yeah, because and they want different viewpoints as opposed to guys that just think like I do.
Exactly. Other coaches just saying, this is the guy you need to hire at offensive line coach. But I think the same thing with the Texans having to know everybody, having every relationship. I get it, but sometime get outside. This is my one big concern with the Patriot way. It really is a comfort zone thing where they have their own way of doing things. And so I just not a fan of not being a little bit more open-minded about everything. But I think Lovey is their default out, that it makes sense for him now. He has got head coaching experience. He is a black coach. He is familiar with the team. They don't have to switch out staff. They can probably, your guess, my guess, same thing. Josh McCown hits the staff now.
Yeah.
Pep Hamilton bumps to Tim Kelly's job, and you know Josh McCown takes over Pep Hamilton's job, and Lovey probably at his age right now in his 60s, I have to check Lovey's age, is probably comfortable with being with saying, yeah, I'll ride out into the sunset as a head coach, get some closure in my career, and I'll retire.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. If McCown is, it would be to me.
That's our guess.
A huge shocker if McCown's not on this staff, if Lovie Smith is named the head coach. Just a huge shocker. But if he is, then it all plays out. He's going to be head coach in waiting. He's going to be in the room. He's going to learn. And you know what? That's the way it should be. He needs to have some coaching experience, learn from guys. I mean, I'm sure he was, you know, he's had such a long career in the NFL as a backup. I'm sure he picked up a bunch of stuff, but you got to go through the grind of coaching. You got to find out whether or not that's for you. First of all, it's a 90-hour a week job. I'm not sure, you know, that's one thing. Say, you know, you can watch guys do it, but to actually do it week in and week out every week, and to go through the grind of the media and the grind of the tediousness of the scheduling and everything else that you have to do. And, oh, by the way, find out whether or not you are a decent coach, because he hasn't coached at all. So there's a bunch of stuff to find out, and this is the way to go about it, Texans. And, oh, by the way, Lovie Smith went to a Super Bowl with the Bears. Now, he was terrible in Tampa, 8-24 as a head coach. But he had, I mean, look at the players. No one has won in Tampa in years. Tampa had the third worst record in all of football over the last 10 years. And it just is, since Bruce Arians and Tom Brady got there, it had been crap. So, you know, that wasn't just all on Lovie. Lovie has got a proven record as a decent head coach in the NFL. You know, Illinois just didn't have talent and everything else. That was just a bad situation. So we'll see whether or not Lovie Smith is the guy. But those are the talks right now. Jonathan Gannon was informed that he is not a candidate anymore for that head coaching job. So it's at three right now. I would be shocked if it's Flores, even more shocked if it's McCown. The Lovie Smith seems to be the favorite. If you guys want to get in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We got some baseball to talk. We got the Astros farm system that we got to get to. We got the Rockets losing last night and not doing it well. It was daddy-daughter night last night at the stadium.
Well, for us, for me and my friend McCool, we were out there, but it was...
Oh, that was just for you guys. I thought it was daddy-daughter night.
Was it?
No, I don't know that. I don't know that.
No,
and if you guys want to hear more about the Cabo Cup, you are more than welcome. You are more than welcome to get in here. All right, Team Traber retaining the cup with an heroic come from behind win on the final holes. It was just spectacular. So we can talk about that as well. All you got to do is get in. 713-780-3776. Right now, I'm talking about Chastang Ford and my people over at Chastang Ford. You're not in business for 80 plus years. In any business, anywhere, anytime, unless you do it right. And the way you do it right is you give people the square deal, the best deal that you possibly can. You work your hardest for them. Listen, businesses have known about the Chastangs for years. That's why they're the number one Ford commercial dealer in the city of Houston. And why are businesses all on board? Well, because they get the best price that they can possibly give them. They give a deal, and they're not going to add anything on that they don't have to, and they give the best service they possibly can. And that's on the retail side as well, people. No add-ons, no dealer add-ons. We're talking about this day in and day out, because you know what the other dealerships are doing? They are giving they are putting add-ons. They're trying to sell you leather seats or sunroof or bed liner or whatever it is. And at Chastang Ford, they want it to customize it the way you want it, not the way that they want it. Get that Ford car or truck exactly how you want it with no add-ons. And, oh, by the way, they're not going to tax you $5,000 or $10,000 on top of it either, like other dealerships. You're looking for that? It's at ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Thoughts on Lovie Smith as your next head coach of the Houston Texans? You're more than welcome.
Because nah, it's not a done deal yet.
No.
But it feels done.
Yeah. Well,
it ain't going to be Josh.
No. Just thoughts about if he is your next head coach.
Do you think he would, Josh McCown would have been your head coach if Brian Flores' lawsuit hadn't come out?
No.
I think he would have. I think that shined a brighter light on this whole thing.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. There's so many white guys. If you listen to Deadspin, zero African Americans.
Sean Beckwith had a Mike McDaniel, who is now, I understand from an optical standpoint, he doesn't quote unquote look biracial, which is the same thing said about a couple of my kids, but he is, and with a black father. My kids have a Mexican mother, obviously, but so a lot of people did not know that. I didn't know it. You know, I didn't know it. I think a lot of people didn't know it. I don't care. I didn't know it. Either way. A writer at Deadspin, because Deadspin's always trying to, they've become just insufferable, frankly. He thought, okay, I'm going to be the best ally you have ever seen. Watch me write this article about Mike McDaniel being just another white guy who's just given his opportunity. Ho-hum. We hate this white guy. So this guy, Sean Beckwith, wrote an article for Deadspin about just another whitey, Mike McDaniel.
Oops.
And let's see.
Deadspin, Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I want to get the Deadspin article. Yeah.
There he is, Sean Beckwith.
Here's the article. Sure, Mike McDaniel seems cool, but he's not worthy of a head coaching gig yet. Please stop. And it says, please stop and think before you inadvertently dub another young white guy as the next hot NFL coaching prospect.
Editor's note. We learned after the publication of this article that 49ers offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel, whom we describe as a white guy, is in fact biracial. The article's original text remains below. We regret the error.
He said, be careful what you tweet for, people on the online realm. Mike McDaniel, the San Francisco 49ers offensive coordinator who's gone viral for his quote-unquote adorable news conference featuring references to Mike Jones and engaging answers, is ticking off all the boxes to be the next trendy young white guy who takes a head coaching position before one of the many deserving black candidates. I can't predict the internet, so don't blame me for what trends, but if you haven't seen any clips from McDaniel, who looks more like Weezer's Rivers Cuomo than a football coach, he's kind of entertaining upon first watch. I viewed that a few times and failed to catch what prompted the Mike Jones outburst, so maybe I'm missing the context.
Okay. Is he young? Yes. Has he ever come in contact with Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay? Yes. Have people on the internet called him brilliant? Yes. Is he a media darling? Yes. Is he white? Yes. Is he a good head coach? Hell if I know.
This is the classic, if you read this article, it is the classic new media hit piece.
Yeah.
That they've become so famous for that you can't. It's impossible to have any respect for any of those guys that are willing to just take shots at somebody. They don't do any research. They don't do any background. They don't have a legitimate opinion on the person. It's just they go in there. This is my narrative, and this is what I'm going to fire at. It gets even worse because he talks about. Wait a minute. Where's the part? Did they take the part out about Andrew Hawkins? Yeah, here it is. Again, I'm not – okay. Andrew Hawkins said, I promise you there is not a brighter football mind in the league. Andrew Hawkins, who was a former Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, is on Twitter. He's now on NFL Network. Like, he does media stuff too. And he put that on Twitter and tweeted something out, an answer that that basically Mike McDaniel had about – why is there a pitch play? Somebody asked him, why do you pitch the ball on those tight running plays? And Mike said, that's a really good question. And he basically describes the fact that people are looking for something. What it is when you turn and you see a quarterback reverse pivot, you think it's going to be a pitch wide. So the linebackers start flowing. In fact, he pitches it back on what becomes an inside zone run, which is right down the middle, basically. And so that's how they create overflow from linebackers. So if you know what he's talking about, you get all that stuff. So Hawkins said, I can promise you there's not a brighter mind. The Deadspin article writer, the guy who's the monster ally, who's also deleted his Twitter now, and I don't know what he's doing. He's actually written articles since then. He said, I don't know who Andrew Hawkins is or how much weight should we put behind him saying, I promise you there's not a brighter mind in Football League. But it says a lot about the power of internet groupthink that a black guy with a, quote, a call for justice shouldn't warrant an apology, end quote, on his profile backdrop would tweet a statement like that. Like, oh, my God. Can you imagine, honestly, when this guy found out that Mike McDaniel was biracial, I'll bet you he wanted off himself. I bet you he thought, oh my God. He's what? Like,
oh no, that's a mistake that just.
Like you, Spanish? Like, is his mom Spanish, maybe?
No. Well, by the way.
No, his dad's actually black.
By the way,
Yes, sorry, Sean.
By the way, Hispanic is not a race, by the way. Your kids aren't biracial. They're not biracial. They're five: white, black, African or African American, American Indian, Alaska Native, Asian, and Native Hawaiian.
It's ethnicity, which is black, Latino, right. All that.
It's not racial. They're not biracial,
though. Well, okay. So if I had, with a Mexican woman,
Mexican is not a race.
But if I had had it with a
Hispanic,
a
is
Native
not a race.
American,
that's different.
How's that?
Because that's a race. A Native American is a race. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not from different country. Okay. I'll tell you have to tell to Alabama. We just got Hispanic scholar money.
Well,
from
no.
Alabama.
Hispanic is still an ethnicity that gets you money.
It's a minority ethnicity.
Is it done? Is he going to Alabama?
No. I don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, whoever gives you the most money, you're going. Stop this stuff.
Let's stop the nonsense.
I mean,
let's get Tyler in here. He wants to talk about this head coaching thing. What do you say, Tyler?
Morning, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Oh, another day in paradise. Yeah, man, I wanted to talk Lovie Smith. I know we haven't heard a lot about it, but what are the chances that the Texans have put their feelers out and reached for a couple other guys, and the guys are just like, I don't want anything to do with that job? I think enough people around the league know it's kind of a joke of a job. And I did want to make a Mike McDaniel's comment. Was he flying under the radar, or was he just something that Miami hadn't really talked about and came in and scooped up? I know that he came from a pretty legendary coaching tree, and I think, Lance, I think you called it that the Texans should hire that guy right then when he made that Mike Jones reference. And I remember him from his time in Houston as like I was a quality control guy, quarterback coach, something like that. But, man, I just wanted to see if the Texans pulled Lovie Smith out of their hat to possibly retain Pep Hamilton, because, you know, they say he's good as gone. But they say Pep Hamilton will be his O.C., and, you know, if it wasn't for Lovie being a candidate, I mean, it might have to be Josh McCown, because nobody else wants to, you know, partake in this giant crap show. But y'all have a great week, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Are there guys? I think that was earlier in the process. Hey, we want to talk to so-and-so. Nah, not interested. You know, I don't know. We haven't heard of anybody.
I don't think this is a good job. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if
it's only
said,
one of 32. So there, I mean, for sure, you know, Brian.
If you had your choice of jobs,
no. This is last.
Yeah,
There's only 22, and there were only what, 8 openings.
Yeah, but for guys like a Byron Leftwich, for example, is this it? Is this your only chance? No. So you wait.
Well, Byron Leftwich is because he knows he's the coach in waiting after
Even
Arians,
if he's
right?
Not you
he
don't.
Pulled
take,
his, he pulled his name out of Jacksonville.
If you have confidence, and I think because of that. But if you have confidence, you don't take the Texans job. If you have confidence that you can get get another offer, there's no reason to. Like, I know Ballard turned down opportunities because he thought I'm waiting for the right job. You only get one of these sometimes.
Yeah, right.
So he wanted to wait. If you're a guy who's now you could make the argument. Well, what about a black head coach? How many chances are you going to get? I do think Leftwich takes over in Tampa very, very soon. I do think D'Amico Ryans is going to be a head coach within 2 years. But even the other guys, the other coaches. Now, if you're an older coach, Doug Peterson, you know, you got to take what you're going to take.
Right.
What if I don't know how many. If you're not a young guy, everyone wants the next young guy. I don't know if Mike McDaniel, I'll be honest, I think he's hilarious. I think Mike McDaniel is very smart. I've been obsessed with his videos over the last 2 months. He doesn't feel like a head coach from a personality standpoint. I'll be honest with you about that. I think he feels like somebody you want to hang out with for sure, 100%. He's very, very smart. But he is young offensive coordinator who comes from the Shanahan tree. And that is, my wife and I were talking about black head coaching hires. And I said, look, one of the key components is you've got to have a tree. because people will start hiring off of trees. And so it's important for a coach like Bruce Arians, for example, has Leftwich and Todd Bowles. And Bruce has been very proactive in terms of making sure he's surrounded by black coaches and competent coaches. I mean, good coaches. That's the whole key to start a hiring process, is going to be having guys off of trees, because it's a copycat league. So if you are from a tree that is successful, and then if you're young now, then everyone's going to give you a chance. It used to be Holmgren's tree. Remember, that's where John Gruden came from. Mike Holmgren had a tree. I would argue that right now, Mike Shanahan's tree, with Kevin O'Connell, who came from Sean McVay, who came from Mike Shanahan, he is going to be the head coach in Minnesota. Look at this. McVay, LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, obviously. But the subset off of that, where'd Zach Taylor come from? Does Zach have any connection to? I know that Kevin O'Connell came from Sean McVay's, obviously, tree, which the limbs sprouted off of Mike Shanahan. And guess what? Gary Kubiak is in that mix, too. Gary Kubiak's staff, his quality control guys were Mike McDaniel, new head coach in Miami, Robert Saleh, head coach with the Jets. Who else was on that staff? Kyle Shanahan in 2009, head coach of the 49ers. Like, Gary had a legit staff.
So, he was an assistant with the wide receivers coach with the Rams, and then a quarterback's coach with the Rams under McVay. Zach Taylor.
Another guy. That's what... So what I was trying to explain to her, I know people just like to write that off as just, oh, just more of the same, and, you know, so who do you know? But it's not really you're simplifying that. If you have a hot tree, and it's usually offensive, but if you're part of a tree that catches fire with winds, that's when people are going to look for you. And I think it's very important that a black coach establishes a tree. And then you could also argue, well, you got to be named head coach first. That's certainly true. But that's going to be the key, is getting guys, you say, this guy's the next, that, you know, where they envision, this is a young version of, that's what people thought Raheem Morris was going to be. And then when he didn't succeed,
Todd Bowles,
you know, it hurt. But and you hope Todd Bowles would be. Yeah, but those are some of the things you have to have happen. Is somebody's got to hit a tree at some point.
Yep. All right, 713-780-3776. You got thoughts on this Lovie Smith thing? You're more than welcome to get in here. We can also talk. We'll talk a little Rockets on the other side as well. Lance was there on Daddy Daughter Night. But first, let's talk about your patio, Lance.
Well, so Texas Custom Patios, they got the plans into to my friend over at Rail Restaurant. He's taking a look at the patio that they designed. I had them send me the plans. I wanted to see what it looked like. It's incredible. It looks so lifelike. The CAD drawings that they do and the way that they set it up, you see how many more people can be seated outside at that particular restaurant. And it just kind of brought me back to the same thing that happened for me back in 2016 when Stephen Schell and his crew designed a patio for me. And I've had so much fun in everything that, you know, it is entailed, watching my games out there. I remember watching Lukaku hit my first time out on my patio in December of 2016. He goes for a hat trick, and then having friends over with steaks and the bourbon and kids out there watching. We all watch some things out there. It's been a great place to have, whether it's an outdoor kitchen, an outdoor living space. You really turn your house into a home when you have your own patio from Texas Custom Patios. They're the best in the business. Their design team's outstanding. And, of course, when they build it, it is a first-rate patio that is built to add value to your home. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Thoughts about this Lovie Smith thing? You are more than welcome to get in here. Plenty of people. And just typical Texans. I'm seeing so many typical dumb organizations. Did you guys just realize that Lovie Smith is black? Or did you just realize that, you know, did you just realize Josh McCown didn't have any head coaching or any coaching at all experience? Is this what you guys just realized? I mean, honestly, did you realize just realize now that you can't hire Brian Flores? Is this what you just realized here? I mean, so it's just another Texans thing. Goodness gracious. Lovie Smith has been here the whole time. And Adam Schefter
we've been talking to him.
That's what, Adam Schefter originally put out, Texans now in talks with Lovie Smith. And then he had to later retweet that with this. Oh, they've been talking to him, but now they've been talking about his candidacy, but now they're interviewing him. That's what Adam Schefter had to put out because the Texans probably got on. So I called him and said, oh, no, he's been here. Oh, we've been talking about him the whole time. Oh, no. We've been talking about whatever. Stop already. Stop. You did not mention Lovie Smith. And the Texans on their own website have been putting out their candidates. They were down to four. Okay, we're down to three candidates now. Lovie Smith has never been on there. Never been on there. But they've been talking about his candidacy the whole time.
Coach Reese says, Hey, you guys mentioned only getting two hires as GM. Is this what Nick Caserio is going to let his legacy be? First of all, Nick gets as many as he wants because Jack hired him. Jack negotiated his contract. Jack has control over Cal. This isn't, as soon as he fires Lovie and goes with, or Lovie retires, however it goes down, and they go with Josh McCown. This is one of the things about having autonomy over an owner. It's a rare feat where a coach or a general manager is in charge of the entire organization. But I think we all know. I mean, Cal technically is in charge, but Cal's not going to do anything that rocks the boat of what he thinks, you know, the people that Jack wants to do. And so, and there's no Jamie Roots. There's no other person. It's literally Jack directly to the owner. Jack's the one who pulled Nick out of the trash heap basically and said, oh yeah, we weren't even talking to him and GM. Well, he got him hired and negotiated his contract, gave him 6 years.
Well, that's because nobody else wanted Jack used to be in the building.
This is a friendship deal. And so it's not going to, the two hire thing, which is what you usually get as a GM, that's not going to be, the media can say all they want. Usually it's media that puts pressure on ownership, and the media does it through the fans and all that stuff. Here, I don't think it. Do you think it's even relevant what the media says?
No.
I don't think what the media says.
They don't care. Rat's ass.
I don't think what fans say.
I think
say
that they can't be totally deaf. They can't be totally tone deaf to what everyone is saying about Josh McCown. I mean, Art said 100% they hire Josh McCown if the Flores lawsuit doesn't come. I don't think it's 100%. I think they have to hear. They have to. They can't be deaf about everything that they've done. It's so such a stupid organization that they wouldn't have heard how ridiculous it is to hire Josh McCown right now. I can't believe that. I just can't.
I think they would have. I don't think they care. But once it got so bright, but I was bringing up the point that how bad the optics were going to be way a long time ago, and they didn't seem
they
to
care.
Like, I don't think they cared until the Flores thing, and they went, you think it's going to be really bad if we hire McCown?
I mean, look, the outside people don't know how special he is. But, yeah, I mean, if you just say, oh, he's never coached football, you know, if you just look at it simple.
Isn't there anybody in that room that said, didn't we just do that? Didn't we just hire a coach that nobody wanted?
We're hiring a guy way less qualified, way less experienced and qualified than David Culley.
Right. And I didn't think that was possible.
And Cal said, is that the guy I gave $22 million to?
Wait a minute. Like,
Cal,
who's Culley again?
You keep your mouth shut. Did we ask you to talk?
No. Let's get Ray in here at Memorial. Ray wants to talk about this Lovie Smith thing. What do you say, Ray?
Hey, John. How you doing there?
Good.
I've been a long-time fan of yours, man. I just want to make a couple points in with you guys, and I'm going to hang up and listen. But first of all, the first point I want to make is let's call it for what it is. Cal is not the owner of the Texans. Jack Easterby is really the impromptu owner. I mean, because he's making all of the decisions. Cal could care less about any day-to-day operations. He's basically given that to Easterby, and Easterby is the owner. Let's call it for what it is. The second thing is, how much of it do you think that Nick Caserio, because I do believe Nick Caserio has a bright football mind. He just has that dark cloud that the loser Jack used to be in the organization. But how much of it do you think that Nick Caserio just woke up and just said, hey, guys, we and just told, hey, Jack, We can't do this. We cannot hire Josh McCown. I understand that you want to be in control and you want to hire the guys that you want to hire, but at some point, what was it that Nick Caserio finally decided to just say, hey, Jack, we can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad look. It's a real bad look. We cannot do this.
Well,
I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
I think that
who was the guy in the building is the question. I don't know.
Here's the deal, though. I don't want to overplay. Listen,
I think Jack might have come to that. This is a Caserio hire.
And let's face it, he may be. And listen, Josh McCown is perfect for Caserio after what we saw with David Culley. He wants a guy in there that he can mold. I don't want to say puppet. He wants to be the puppeteer, but he definitely, Nick Caserio wants it. No, this is my building. This is I am the boss around here. He didn't have that in New England. They're doing it. He wants to do it differently here. He wants to run the show. He's the one that's autonomous. He's the man in the building. And Jack used to be as a facilitator to Cal and all of those. But listen, there was an awakening for Caserio. There was an awakening that just said, we can't do this.
It might have been for Jack, too. Honestly,
maybe too.
Jack may have said...
But I don't think Jack is making this decision.
But I think he has a voice in the room. And
he does have a voice in the room, but this is Caserio.
If Nick offered some resistance, Jack may have said, I'm with you. We both knew who the right guy is, but this is maybe not the time. Right. Let's just play this. You know, we've got as long as we want, as long as this Cal guy's here. So let's just play this.
Jack Easterby went along with everything that Bill O'Brien did, and he was a facilitator to the owner. And Jack Easterby is doing the same thing here. Jack Easterby is about saving his job. Jack Easterby, it didn't matter if it was the dumbest thing in the world, like the Arizona trade or the Tunsil deal. If Bill O'Brien wanted it, and it didn't matter that he was going to facilitate it, he was going to get it done, and he was going to sell it to the owner. Sell it to the owner. You just tell the owner what you're doing, and he didn't say anything. But I think you got it wrong. This is Nick Caserio. I mean, let's not. Nick made that Culley hire. Nick wanted a puppet. Nick got a puppet. Guess what? That puppet could only last 1 year here because it was such a dumb hire. Such a dumb hire for a guy that nobody else wanted. I think Nick might have woke up one day and gone, can't do it again. I just can't. I'm trying, but I just can't do it again. Now, Lovey may be a guy. Hey, Lovey, we're going to give you Josh McCown as quarterback coach. All right, I don't care. You're going to give me another shot as the head coach in the NFL? Okay, pay me. Pay me that man his money. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. We can have Josh McCown here. If Josh McCown isn't hired here, I will apologize. I will apologize because this appears to be a play with somebody that's going to go along with the long-term plan of Josh McCown, of this Caserio Easterby McCown triumvirate that is going to take place here in the city of Houston at some point.
You know, I remember when Lovie Smith was the head coach in Chicago, and I was tight with a lot of people in Chicago, and they all loved Lovie Smith. Everyone loves Lovie. The problem was Lovie got a hold of the personnel side. He kind of wrested the personnel side from Jerry Angelo, and some of the picks were really terrible. That's not going to be the case here. Like, no matter what, Lovie is going to be – Lovie doesn't really allow his coaches to cuss. That's not a thing on the field. You're not really allowed to cuss. It's very looked down upon. When John Hoke, I kind of helped put in a good work for Hoke with somebody who was in Chicago who then kind of helped John Hoke introduce him to Lovie. But they had to have a conversation with John Hoke, and they said, John Hoke was a DB coach here for the Texans for quite a few years. And they told him, listen, Lovie's different. You can't just run around MFing everybody. Like, it's a different, like, Lovie is kind of a Christian dude, by the way, he is. And Lovie is, but Lovey's also just a guy who doesn't believe in MF and players. Like, good. Lovey's a guy who,
that's good.
Lovie has a personality and culture the Texans will 100% love. But how come you MF'd me and Dell and Tyler all the time?
Well, I didn't say you guys aren't players.
But kind of in the game of radio, we are.
Yeah, but not you guys aren't. Listen, NFL players, no.
Fair
you
enough.
And Dell and Tyler, yes. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right, 7:43. Guess what time it is? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? That's all you get. It's all you get, one sentence. When we come back, 713-780. It's the game show that people just love. It's sweeping the nation, okay? It's really not a game show per se, and it's really not sweeping the nation, but it's sweeping the city, okay? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. All right, that's what we're going to do when we come back. And listen, it's been packed every week, so hurry up and get in. Time for me to talk about Hoops Sporting Goals and Equipment. That's my man, Keith Tate, over at Hoops, and just the best damn goal that you'll ever find in the history of goals. This is not even arguable. I mean, I know a lot of people who are shorter, you know, and this is a great, great gift for your kids because your kids can actually reach the goal. Your kid's not that athletic. It's okay. They're not going to play in the NBA, but they want to feel like they can play in the NBA, and they want to have fun on a goal. A 10-foot goal just is not fun, Dad. It just isn't fun. What we want is a goal that you can lower so we can dunk on it. We're not athletic, but we want to feel that way, okay? We want to feel like an NBA player throwing down a monster jam. But we can't unless you got us the goal that from Keith Tate and Hoop Sporting Goals and Equipment. By the way, the best insulation, the best goal, tempered glass backboard, unbreakable rim, unrustable stanchion, all of it. It's the best. It's not even arguable. So if you're looking for that goal for the kids that they're actually to play and not just staple a backboard to your garage because they ain't going to play with that, Dad, go to ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So this is it. It's called What Did You Learn This Weekend? In one sentence. It doesn't have to be about sports. It can be about anything. You learned something this weekend that you didn't know, but you only get one sentence to tell us what that is. All you got to do is call in. As soon as somebody hangs up, let's go. We got a full board right now, 713-780-3776. So let's get it started with Will. Will is first up. And what did you learn this weekend in one sentence, Will?
Jordan Spieth is apparently not afraid to die.
Now, I didn't see, but I do know that Jordan Spieth lost. He had the lead. But I don't know why he's not afraid. Did anybody? What did you see?
He took a shot, and his ball landed like literally probably this far from rolling off a cliff at Pebble Beach. And the drop off was probably like 75 feet.
Oh my gosh! That's number eight.
Easily could have died.
Oh my gosh!
And took a full swing, and didn't rock back or forth.
Oh,
or
I would
anything.
Have fallen off. Yeah. Jordan Spieth is not afraid to die. That is the best. Now, Jordan Spieth did die a little bit because he blew a lead on the backside, on the back.
That's got to be – is that
– huge fall.
Oh, no, eight you, has water.
I don't look, know which you 100% don't live.
What hole is that? I mean, that is awesome, Jordan. You know what? You give up your life for golf. That's what it is.
Eighth hole.
Yeah, like I said, that was the eighth hole, 161 too. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's what that means.
Oh, my gosh, that is awesome. That man is fear. He's the hero we all needed. Look, the warehouse is back. I swear to God. Mito, Lazy J. Let's get Ocho in here. Hey, Ocho, ¿qué pasó?
I learned on The Secrets of Playboy that Hugh Hefner was inspired by Charles Manson.
Wow. That is now. That's what you learn this weekend stuff right there.
That is.
That Hugh Hefner was inspired by Charles Manson. That is something you learn over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, and now you shared that with us, and we appreciate it. So that is awesome. That is awesome. Well, I have to find out why. But he only had one sentence. Hefner was obsessed with Charles Manson. With Charles Manson.
Secrets of Playboy Mansion.
Wow. He had a profound fascination with him. Wow. That is wild. Let's get, is that Zeno? Zeno. ¿Qué pasó, Zeno?
I've learned that I'll take the flag football, women's, over the Pro Bowl any day.
Oh, women's flag football?
Did you see any of the Pro Bowl? So, you know, I have checked out on a Pro Bowl for
about
a decade.
They don't even tackle anymore.
I checked out for about a decade, and the only reason I saw it was because Jason Brown, you know, Last Chance U, he retweeted stuff. He called him dumb MFs. It was Jason Brown. But he was filming his, he was taping his TV out on his patio. And I'm like, oh, is this real? This is what the Pro Bowl is nothing but as soon as two people touch you, you're done. You're down.
Mm-hmm.
There is almost like a running game. It is the most laughable thing I've ever seen. They're not even trying. And like Jason Brown actually made a pretty good point. Say, you know what, Tyler? See if you can go get Jason Brown. If he hasn't blocked you, get his tweet, and then you're going to have to clean it up. But he makes some pretty good points about, would you want to have to get dressed up, like put your uniform on for this?
All right, 713-780-3776. Oh, no, you don't have an open line anymore.
Everybody, by the way, you can't tell everybody que paso just because their name is Zeno and Ocho.
Well, yeah, you can. Here's Mito. I can tell him.
You can tell him.
Mito, yeah. But, hey, Mito, que paso, mijo?
Hey. Don't ever volunteer to pick up all the food for a Sweet 16, man. They had to be running around all over Houston, man. Shade throw.
It's not throw shade Monday, okay? That's a different thing, Mito. Don't ever volunteer to pick up all the food for the Sweet 16. I guess that's what he said. All right. That's what he learned this weekend. Don't ever do that. Okay.
That quinceañera is not a Sweet 16. I'm a full year off.
It's a quinceañera. Well, he said, did he say quinceañera? I thought he said Sweet 16.
He did. That's what I'm saying. He said Sweet 16.
Oh, it's not quinceañera. It's 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said Sweet 16. I was saying, oh, quinceañera.
Oh, but maybe he thought it was Sweet 16.
Oh, that's that whole thing, dude.
Yeah.
It's expensive, too, I bet, huh?
Lazy J. What up, Lazy J?
What up? What I learned this week is Mac Jones definitely smashed some black chicks before.
Oh, just stop. He's saying that because he did a gritty after. Do you see what happened? So Mac Jones, it's basically if anyone touches you, you're down.
Yeah.
So he, in his mind, he had this all planned out. He ran. He was down at the 40-yard line, his own 40-yard line after scrambling out of the pocket. He kept running all the way to the end zone. And as soon as he crossed the line, he started doing a gritty as soon as he passed that.
I would have had to have watched that.
You can't let the warehouse make comments like that. That's just a very charged sexual commentary they're trying to make. But Mac Jones did do the gritty.
He did do the gritty. 713-780-3776. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? Tom, you're up. I learned that your phone sucks. That's what I learned this weekend, Tom.
I learned that just now.
Your phone blows.
I was this many years old. All right,
713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Underrated Mess is here. What do you say, Underrated Mess?
What's up, fellas? I learned that Marshawn Lynch is hilarious in Murderville.
Oh, Murderville is out. Murderville is, there was no script. Murderville. It's a series, yeah. The guy that was...
There's no script on it?
No. The guy who was...
I saw it popped up on...
In Arrested Development, his brother.
Netflix.
The brother in Arrested Development.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett. Yeah, Arnett.
Oh, it's a Will Arnett joint?
Yeah.
Oh, I may check it out then.
And all of these different... weekly, there's different guests.
Wait,
done.
There's not a script at all?
No
a
script.
Loose script? Because even Curb has a loose script.
No, apparently... Well, I don't know. You got an identity. I don't know that there's no script, but they said... Here we go. Let's go.
I think they're like giving them a topic and then they just roll with it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's hilarious. That's awesome. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Jimmy, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that the NFL probably needs to move the Pro Bowl from Las Vegas after Alvin Kamara and Jackson Mahomes got into some criminal activity.
I know about Kamara. What happened to Jackson Mahomes?
So Alvin Kamara was arrested for battery at a nightclub, and so
apparently he battered somebody.
Yeah. What happened with Jackson Mahomes?
Well, there's a video out there of Jackson Mahomes trying to force a kiss on another woman.
Oh,
here he is.
Well, that was an upset. First of all,
tries kissing a girl against her will at a shopping mall. What the hell?
That would have paid.
I'm gonna watch it. Oh, he's doing a TikTok dance.
Trying to kiss a girl.
Is he doing that against his will too?
Stop! I'm not gonna let you. Was that on the air?
He said it cashed. No, that's
what I said. You weren't listening. That would have cashed. That would have paid. Okay. That was the underdog.
Y'all need to stop.
You're not right here.
Here's the Jackson. Y'all need to stop that.
Okay, let's see. Jackson Mahomes trying to kiss a girl.
At first he does his,
See, I told you that was the underdog.
Did he do the dance that Lance did before, too?
No.
No, the dab dance?
From last night. Last night?
Look. Lance will show you in the break.
Look at this. He comes over and tries to grab her and kiss her, and she's like, no, I don't want that.
No.
And then people are like, sexual assault. Listen, you cannot like Jackson Mahomes. I don't think he's getting arrested for sexual assault.
Larry, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Although it was clearly against her will.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I learned that Lance has got mad dance moves and hashtag move money.
Okay, let's see your dance moves.
What did he say the second thing?
And move money.
He said move money.
Move body.
Oh yeah, I can't. It's on social media.
What?
They played. So Snack started playing the song they do with Gritty 2, and so Snack started doing it. Motti did, and I did, and then Mason started taping from behind. He's like, yeah. He immediately pulls out his phone and starts taping. So I just played into it. That's all. And then Mason was so excited to be taping me. My daughter tried to get away. He goes, move body. He screamed at her.
What did you learn this weekend in one set? I gotta go look this up. Irv, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
¿Qué pasó, Johnny G? ¿Qué pasó, mi gente? Hey, I learned that no matter what anybody says, Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa are hearts of champion or what they did this weekend, man.
The hearts of champions this weekend, Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve. What'd they do this weekend? I don't know.
So Altuve went into a coffee shop somewhere, I think down in maybe League City. I'm not sure where it was. But some lady recognized him, and I guess she wanted to take a picture, but he was on his way out, and he was like, I'll come back tomorrow. And she said, well, if you're going to come back tomorrow,
neighborhood grab-and-go kitchen.
If you're going to come back tomorrow, I'll come back with Carlos Correa. And so they both came back the next day.
No way.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Good for them.
Altuve immediately offered to drop by work the next day to surprise her. Come by and bring Correa with you, she told Altuve. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, Ellie was scheduled to work at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift. Both Altuve and Correa walked in. The players arrived with autographed baseball for the staff, signed bat for Ellie. Man,
you see,
I'm going to start crying. When Carlos leaves, I'm going to start crying.
They are the heroes we need. Hey, what do you think of the Braves, maybe?
For Carlos?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it, but I didn't hate their team last year. They're fine. Yeah. I'd rather, get out of the American League. Just if you're going to go somewhere, don't let it be the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. I don't want them in the National League either. Those are pretty much the big three I don't want to see it happen with.
How about this?
Everywhere else is fine. That's fine.
How about this? This is cool. Altuve Correa deal. A guy we know, Wayne Richards, his CFO, it's his wife's place. The daughter has Down syndrome, and they employ Down syndrome employees.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so that makes it that much better.
Oh, Belong Kitchen is probably...
Yeah, how about
a little thing, yeah.
Special needs.
Oh,
special
that's awesome.
Needs. Yeah, not just Down, but special needs. That's awesome.
That's a really cool story.
That is cool. That is awesome. All right, let's get Jeff in before we finish up. Hey, Jeff, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Hey, I learned this weekend that realizing he did not win, I think Jordan Spieth is back and coming.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth looked good for up until about, 17, he bogeyed, which was unfortunate, and that really got him out of it. He needed to eagle 18, but what about, nice Tom Hoge coming on and winning. Congratulations to him. And if you haven't seen it, the Harold Varner putt in Saudi Arabia was unbelievable. An eagle from about 60 feet or whatever that won the tournament. He was one down, needed to birdie to tie, and he ended up eagling with an unbelievable putt. So just great stuff. All right. Nice job again. It is definitely the segment that is sweeping the city of Houston. 8 o'clock straight up here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You and I, Lance, we need to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing and our people over there. I got to tell you, Billy and Mary are awesome, awesome, awesome people. And this is kind of a big deal when you're dealing with, it's subjective. You mean people, plumbers will come to your home and, oh, by the way, are they going to do the job or are they going to, subcontract it to somebody else? Well, you know at Aqueduct Plumbing that they're going to do the job. And, oh, by the way, they're going to give you a square deal. And, oh, by the way, they're not going to charge you $70 just to show up like a lot of plumbers do. Oh, no, no, no. If you want me to even look at your job, you got to pay me $70. And then, maybe they'll take it off the bill. But if not, even still.
No, you have to use them. If you don't use them, too bad. So say, give us our money.
Yeah, right. So that sucks. Listen, you got cracks in your walls, or do you have sound when you turn on your faucet? Are your pipes, how old are your pipes? Are you running out of hot water? All of these things, Aqueduct Plumbing takes care of.
They do all that stuff. So when you are looking for a plumber, you want to have this. And even if you don't have plumbing needs right now, make sure that you go to the website, get their number taken down, and you're ready to go. TheBenchPlumbing.com, TheBenchPlumbing.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.